Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. That's right, we are the flagship tabletop wargaming show for the TSR Podcast Network. We're delighted to be here with you. If you are a new or a longtime listener, you're in for a treat. You're going to think, wait a sec. This episode we saw in the show notes or online or somewhere is titled Pokemon Go. It's episode 163, and that's important because we have show notes, right? That's a lot in the episodes. Don't expect you to remember it all. Go to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR163. wargamingrecon.com/WR163. Makes it nice and easy to remember, I think. But you're thinking to yourself, wait a sec, Pokemon Go? What does that have to do with Wargaming Recon or tabletop wargaming or historical miniatures? Darn it! I listen to this show for that kind of stuff and not this kiddie nonsense. We just need to take a break and think about it, right? Yes, Wargaming Recon is about all those other things. But it's also about things that I find cool and exciting and interesting. Things that you can do here in New England or anywhere. So that's why I've covered things like computer games, and I've covered some role-playing games in the past, and board games and all that sort of stuff. Things that might not be strictly wargaming by any stretch of the imagination. But I think that although I'm sure most of you who listen are of certain demographics, which are not the intended demographics for Pokemon Go or any other type of Pokemon, I think you're still going to enjoy the episode because at the very least, it should give you an appreciation for what you're seeing out in the world. If you don't know right now, Pokemon Go is the biggest, most exciting, fantastic new mobile kind of game going on. And it's spreading all over the globe. So you've probably seen people playing it. You might wonder what's going on with it. Or maybe your friends or family members are playing it. Kids, grandkids, nieces and nephews, kids at your work or at school or wherever. You've seen people playing it. You have to have. Just judging by what I've seen on social media. Even if you're not of the intended demographic, you've seen people play it. And let's be honest, the intended demographic are teens and preteens at the most. Boys predominantly, but girls of course as well. The people who are playing it are people like me who are in their 30s or in their 20s who grew up playing the old video games or remember it from the 90s or remember the animated TV show. We're the ones who are really playing it because, well, I'll get into it. But the game's free. Some of the extra cool stuff in it, it costs some money. Most kids don't have money for that kind of thing. People my age probably do. So we're the ones who are doing it. Now, Pokemon Go, for those of you who are not aware of the game or what it's all about, it's really exciting for me as a tech kind of geek, and maybe for you as well, because it is a game set in the world of Pokemon, which is a Japanese series of video games and animated TV series and movies where people go out and become Pokemon trainers. They capture these wild pocket monsters, which is what the name means in Japanese. And they capture them and they collect them and then they make them battle one another in these tournaments and things to become the best Pokemon trainer that it can be. It's kind of based on that old Japanese hobby of collecting bugs and insects and things of that sort. So they took that and created Pokemon and then they made the games and everything. But Pokemon Go, I think, is very interesting because it's not your typical Pokemon game where you're playing on your handheld device, you're playing on, you know, your Game Boy or whatever they have now, PSP and all that kind of stuff. I sound like an old man, whatever those kids have now, gosh darn it, get off my lawn. They're playing it, right? You're not playing it on your video game console system, whatever that happens to be. You're using your tablets, your mobile devices, your smartphones. And the reason why is you are not stationary in the game. It makes you go out into the real world. And you play this game, and for many of us who grew up playing Pokemon, one of the things we always thought would be really cool was if this could be like real life, where you could just walk out your front door and be like, hey, there's a whatever type of Pokemon. Maybe I can capture, maybe I can be that Pokemon trainer. The game allows you to do that because it makes use of your GPS system on your phone or your smart device and an iPad or whatever kind of tablet you happen to have. It uses that and it also uses a camera on your device so that when you play, if you come across a Pokemon, you can, it'll buzz or make a noise or however you have it set up. It'll be like, a wild Pidgey appears. Pidgey is a Pokemon that looks like a pigeon. It doesn't take rocket scientists to figure this out. And so you hold it up and it uses your camera to superimpose the computer generated image of the Pokemon, the Pidgey in this case, into what the camera sees of the real world, also known as AR or augmented reality. I think it's very cool because of that. We're going to see a lot more augmented reality kind of stuff. Some people cite Google Glass, which I think is a stupid thing. Apologies to any one of you who have one, used one like it, or work for Google, that you wear it and it's like glasses, right? But it superimposes a computer kind of screen and interface with the real world. And so this kind of is the next step on it, the next wave. The people who made it, they're a spinoff of Google. They made a game before it. And they're kind of building off that to create this Pokemon game, which they've released. And it's taken the world by storm. That's the game. That's how it goes about. When you play it, you want to level up, just like any other role-playing game you're doing. You want your character to advance and get better and do more. And he or she, they do that as a result of capturing Pokemon. There's points for capturing Pokemon. The more Pokemon you capture, the more experience points you get, of course. You also get experience points for doing certain things like checking into certain points of interest. Some of them are Pokemon gyms where you can battle and you can train. Some of them are Pokestops, which are basically just a place that is more interesting than like your neighborhood house or whatever. It's going to be something like a school or a park, a playground. You might see that it's a church or a library, a town hall. Some sort of open space like that where the public can congregate. Those will be Pokestops and or Poke Gyms. Now, when you go to these Pokestops, you can get cool equipment and things. You get more devices that you use to capture the Pokemon. They're called Pokeballs, as you can guess. The branding for the game uses Poke, P-O-K-E for a lot of the naming. Kind of dumb, I get it. I like the game, as you can tell. I grew up with the originals. I understand if you might not, but bear with me, we gotta get through this. And then you can also get cool things, eggs. Another dimension of the game is you can hatch Pokemon. So when you get an egg, you put it in an egg incubator because it's just like real life. If you had baby birds, right, that you rescued from somewhere, the mommy bird's dead, and you work at a wildlife sanctuary or whatever, and they're trying to, you know, get them going, you put them in the egg incubator. You work at Jurassic Park and you're breeding dinosaurs. Put those eggs in an incubator and out comes the baby velociraptor. Same thing with this. Instead of a velociraptor or a bird, a Pokemon comes out. The way you hatch the egg is you need to move, you need to walk. And there's different criteria for different types of eggs. Eventually a Pokemon comes out. You can evolve Pokemon so that they start off at the most basic level. And as more stuff happens, they can then evolve into a different version of that Pokemon. They can level up basically is what it is. And they can do so to a finite position. The more evolved they are, the stronger they are, the better they are, the more powerful their statistics are, which comes important for when you're engaged in Pokemon battles. These take place at the Pokemon Gym. So if you belong to a team or a faction that is the same color as the team slash faction that owns the gym, you can train there. So for example, let's say I am Team Red. And there's a gym near me, and it is also Team Red. I can go in, I can train and try to level up. If, however, I am Team Red, and that gym is owned by Team Blue or Team Yellow, I have to fight to take control of it. And once I have control of it, or rather my team has control of it, I can then leave behind one of my Pokemon to help guard it. So to put it into sort of something, some sort of terms that are more familiar to those of you who usually listen to Wargaming Recon, think of it this way. If you are the general of a division and you come across a town and you're at that town and you see that there is a great vantage point, you want to place snipers in the church bell tower, you need to make sure that there are no other troops from the enemy side in that church bell tower. And once you've done so, you can put your snipers in there and leave them there and they defend it. And they're there defending that location in your town that you've captured and you are occupying. so that even after you leave, if you leave snipers or some sort of troops in that location, they defend it until they are defended by, it's pretty straightforward. And that's the game. So you go forward and you do this and it encourages you, you know, to do all sorts of stuff. As I said, it's targeted for people in their 20s and 30s and younger, naturally younger, but people in their 20s or 30s, I think it's the most popular with. I've seen people playing it in their teens and, let me actually dive into that. I was going to separate it out into clear pros and cons, but it's a little more fluid this way. So some of the pros actually kind of tie into this. So I think the biggest pro is that it gets people outside. I don't know about you, but a lot of people I know, myself included, complain and complain and complain that kids these days just don't want to go outside. They want to stay in with their smart devices and their tablets and their computers and their video games. And they don't ever want to venture out into the real world. They don't want to experience the real world. That when I was a kid, I had to walk uphill in the snow 20 miles a day barefoot to get to whatever. I had to play with a stick. I remember hearing those kind of stories, right? Not real, some of them, but hearing them from like my parents and my grandparents. And I kind of get what they meant that, yeah, it's fun and cool to be inside playing on computer games and our video games or painted models or whatever. But it's nice to get outside to see what's going on in the real world. Don't just let life pass us by. So this game encourages kids, anyone who's playing the game, encourages them, you, me, whoever, encourages us to get outside and to see what's going on. And I know you're thinking, you're not seeing anything if you're walking around like this with the phone in your face and you're not looking at anything and you're just like, I'm looking at here trying to see what's going on my phone in the game. And I hear you, but it is inevitable that you will look up. You're going to look around. You're going to see what's going on. And even if it's because you say, hey, there's a Pokemon here I need to capture and I think I'm in the right spot, but I don't think so. Let me look and see where else it can be. And that brief moment that you look in to see where is that stupid little pocket monster? You're going to look around and you're going to see some of the beauty of nature. You're going to see some wonderful plants and animals, people and things and places and buildings and all sorts of cool stuff. And maybe, just maybe, you might get interested enough in some of that to pursue it a little bit more. I think it is fantastic that people are getting out and seeing this kind of stuff. I can speak from my own experience, just in the little bit that I played the game, that I've gone out and I've experienced and seen parts of my town that I've never been to before. So I started out on a walk and I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to play the game and get a walk in and see how it was going, and ended up in parts of town. And I was like, wow, look at these houses. They're nice. And all those lawns are really pretty. And look at all these wild bunnies. And it's so nice to see the bunnies. I'm going to stop for a moment. And because I'm a bunny kind of guy, make fun of me, I don't care. I'm going to talk to those wild bunnies and say, hey bunny, how's it going? What are you eating there? Do you want to come to my house and eat my grass? So that way we don't have to mow it. We get some tasty stuff there. I have bunnies too. They're fluffy, but they're not like you. And on my way and get to see cool things and see people and places. And I love looking at houses and the architecture and the different styles of it and the plants and all that kind of stuff. I walk when I'm at work and I play the game. I'm going to get into this a little bit more as we talk further about this on this episode of the show. There's this awesome nature path near where I walk, near where I work. I use it to walk, of course. And so I go on that nature path. And I can go and I see beautiful birds and squirrels and there's a brook there and you can see all sorts of stuff that's going on there. It's really nice to kind of get away and you're in this place and you think, it doesn't feel like I'm in a suburban town. It doesn't feel like there's all these buildings nearby. It just feels like I'm out, I'm enjoying nature and you get to appreciate it. And it's really nice. Is everyone going to do that? No. Some people will always just have their nose in their phone, in their smartphone, or their tablet, or, you know, whatever they use in play, and just say, I gotta get this thing, I gotta level up, I gotta do this, and they're not gonna look around. But those are the same people who would do that even if they didn't have the game. They are the people who could be out walking, and although they're looking straight ahead, and they might see you as you're walking towards them, they don't actually even know you're there. It doesn't register with them. So it doesn't matter whether they're playing the game or they have a phone in their hands. They're just oblivious anyway. I know people like that. They can have a sign in front of them that says, this sign says you get free stuff if you look down. And they're going to be staring right at that sign and say, I heard there was a sign here that said something about free stuff, but I don't know where the sign is. And it's right in front of their face. They still can't see it. Those people exist. And sure, some of them are going to play the game. And some of them are going to have that experience where they're not going to get to enjoy the world outside, but that would happen anyway for them. Another great thing about the game is, and I've kind of alluded to it a little bit, is that it encourages physical activity. So I don't know when the last time was you may have looked around you at a gaming convention or at a club night and seen the other wargamers with you and looked at them and thought, maybe, just maybe some of these wargamers could be doing a better job of taking care of themselves. I know I am one such wargamer who definitely needs to do a better job of taking care of myself. That's without a doubt. I am not trying to say I'm exempt from this. So should you ever see me at a gaming event or a convention and thought, Jonathan's talking about people, but you know, that dude really should lose a little bit of weight. I hear you and I get it. And that's my point, right? So for a long, long, long time, I've kind of said, I want to get out and I want to walk. And I used to walk every day during my lunch break, half hour, 45 minutes, depending on how quickly I could eat my lunch. And I'd go out, I'd walk a mile, mile and a half, maybe 2 miles if I was doing really well, right? I'd come back to work and do my thing, and then that was that. And I would feel happy about it, and then it kind of stopped. And then I would find excuses. Well, I want to walk, but maybe it's too hot out. Maybe it's not warm enough out. Maybe it's rainy. Maybe it's windy. Maybe I'd rather, you know, my legs hurt, because I've been doing a lot today at work. Maybe I just want to sit here and eat my lunch. Maybe, oh, there's a newest episode of whatever TV show you like, Game of Thrones, whatever. I want to get caught up. I need to watch it, because I can't watch it at home. Because when I get home, I got to take care of the baby and there's all the stuff to do. And then it's bedtime because I'm so tired. And so I can't watch any of that. So I've got to watch it during lunch. And that means I can't walk, right? Because I have to do this. Well, you don't. This game has been an impetus for me to actually say, okay, I like the game. I'm excited about the game. The game means I need to get out and walk. So I'm going to know to walk. I get out and walk. It is that carrot I need. And maybe it's a carrot that other people need. Maybe it's a carrot that you need. And you're thinking, well, a carrot's good. A stick can be better. And that's true. And the stick is, if I don't get out and walk, I don't get anything. I don't get to say, oh, I got a cool new egg. I got a cool new Pokemon. I leveled up. I don't get to do that. And then I fall further and further behind. And the further behind I fall, the less I can do in the game. So if I want to be able to do stuff in the game, I need to walk. I need to level up. It's just like playing a role-playing game, right? If you never show up to night when your team plays, eventually, they're probably going to cut you from the team. But that aside, they're all going to level up and you won't. Next thing you know, you stop playing and you're gone for 3 months because you can't make club night. And everyone else in the party is level 20 and you're level 4. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't do a darn thing. And the GM says, hey buddy, you know what? I don't know what to do with you because all the adventures I'm creating are for level 20 and you're going to die if you just show up there. You can't do it. So you got to participate, right? So that means you gotta get out and get a walk. I have to get out and walk. One of the cool things about the game is that you can cheat a little, and I'm not encouraging that. Depending on your area, it's also illegal to be playing the game while driving. But some of the stuff you can't. And this is the cool thing. So let's say you have one of those eggs I mentioned beforehand. The egg has a Pokemon in it. You don't know what kind, but you know you want it because that's the point of the game, kind of. The only way to make it hatch is by walking or jogging or running. The point is you gotta get out. You have to move your body. Your lower extremities have to move in order for you to be able to hatch that egg and get whatever that Pokemon is. There are predefined lengths that you have to go to. Some eggs are 2 kilometers. I'm not quite sure why the game's in kilometers as opposed to feet, except maybe in Japan. I think they probably use metric and not standard because America is weird. And some, I have some that are 5 kilometers. So you walk, you run, you jog, whatever, and eventually you get there. One of my first nights out walking here at home, I make my way back home. I have to do my walking. This guy's running down the street. He's going, I hatched an egg. I hatched an egg. And I'm like, yay, good for you. And I'm thinking, I don't know you. And what do you mean you hatched an egg? But I didn't want to say that because I'm thinking, if that's weird, then you don't ask a weirdo what they meant by hatching an egg because you don't want the answer. So you just keep walking. And it wasn't until after the fact that I learned that it was for the game and what that actually meant. But at the time I was like, that's weird. What the heck? Just keep going. Keep going. Put your head down. Go faster. It's for the game. And he was running and jogging because he wanted to, you know, get through quicker. He didn't want to spend an hour walking 2 kilometers or however far he had to walk. He wanted to get it done fast. So that's why he was doing that. Another cool thing, which I just kind of mentioned, with the game, and I'm calling it a pro, some people would call it a con, depending on the type of person you are, is you get to interact with other people. And that's not just you know, interacting with the game or interacting with someone online, you get to interact with them in person. So I give this example of the guy running, who's probably in his 20s. He's running, I hatch an egg, that guy. And we said hi and we interacted. Are we going to be best buddies? Am I ever going to see him again? No, and probably not. However, I got to interact with them. So if I'm someone who doesn't interact with people, let's say I am an introvert. Let's say I'm a real introvert. I'm really shy. That could be a big interaction, right? That could boost my social meter. For those of you who play The Sims, it fills it up and you're like, yes, I got my social activity in for the day. I'm happy. But you also get to interact with people when you do something such as stopping at a Pokestop or a Pokemon gym. People are going to be there playing. You'll interact with them. The game can be that icebreaker that you need or maybe that they need, right? An icebreaker can be very handy, especially when there's people who you don't know and maybe you're socially awkward like I am. I'm very socially awkward. Never picked up on that when you've met me or seen me. Surprise! I'm socially awkward. And if you did, well, you know, yay. You can use the game as an icebreaker. When you're hanging out at a Pokestop, you can be there. And one of the things that people can do, they can drop a special piece of equipment. It's called a lure, which encourages Pokemon, the monsters, to come to that location. Anyone can access that lure. So if you're there and the other people are there, the lure helps all of you. And while you're there, you can say, oh, so what did you catch today? And they can talk. And maybe, just maybe, it can become a gateway into other types of gaming. So Pokemon Go, you meet people at that Pokestop or the gym, you talk about the game. Next thing you know, you're talking some more about the game. And then you find out, maybe you have other stuff in common. Maybe you like role-playing games. And from there, maybe you like board games. Or maybe you like playing war games of some sort. You're really into Hail Caesar, but you didn't know because you just thought, oh, that person over there is playing Pokemon. I'm playing too, but they're not going to be into this like I am because they're playing Pokemon. They're different. Why would they? But you never know. Be that icebreaker. And maybe it's not going to work out. You know, it's not always going to. I understand that. I get that. But maybe it is. And even if it only works out one time out of 10, one time out of 50 times that you're playing, that could be one new friend you made, one new person you get to game with who you didn't get to game with before. Maybe they turn you on to a new game store that you weren't aware about, or a new game night somewhere, or a club, or an event that would be cool. It only takes one. Word of mouth is the best type and best kind of endorsement, I think. It just takes that one. So it can be really cool. Now, this is not the second coming. Right. The game's fun. It's cool. It's had some controversy. But as with anything, there are cons to it. So the first con that I want to share is that there are some privacy concerns. The game relies on GPS data in order for you to play. It ties into Google Maps. As anyone knows who's used GPS data for anything on their phone, whether it's to find out how to get to somewhere or whatever, that sucks up a lot of battery. It sucks up a lot of your data. So when you're out and about, you're probably not using Wi-Fi. You're probably using your cellular data, whether it's on your tablet or your phone. And depending on how much you're allowed to use every month, it'll just suck it up and it'll be gone in a flash. So make sure you keep an eye on your data usage. It also sucks up your battery life. In order to play, you need to keep the app open on your phone. And as it's open, it's constantly checking GPS data to see where you've moved, where you're at. That uses up a lot of battery life. So you need to make sure you have it charged up before you go doing any kind of crazy stuff. It's still going to eat it all. There are things you can do. There's a battery saver mode on it. You can also dim the brightness on your phone and other sorts of things. Worst case scenario, you get a portable battery, which I don't have one here to exhibit, but I bought one on Amazon, not for the game, but for other reasons here at home. It works great, and you can have that put in your pocket and make sure the battery's charged up. And it's a big enough battery that it can charge your phone at least once, maybe twice, and then charge your phone on the go as you play. Keep that in mind. It's a resource hog, battery and data transfer. Also, if you're wary of anything that's tracking you like that, and it is tracking you because, I mean, it needs to know where you are in order for you to play the game. If you're wary about that, you probably don't want to play the game because there's no way around it. It has to track you if you're going to play the game. That's just it's how it is. It's impossible for it to avoid that because it can't just guess where you're at. It needs to know that you're near this building or that location because proximity to the things you're trying to capture, the Pokemon you're trying to capture, and the locations you're going to, it's very important. If you're not close enough, you can't interact with stuff. So it needs to know that. Also, it has two different ways that you can create an account and then log in. One of them is called the Pokemon Trainer Club. I think it's tied to a website that existed, and when the game first came out, they weren't allowing people to create accounts there. So if you didn't already have an account, you couldn't create one that way and sign in. I am unsure if that has since been changed. I could not find any information one way or the other about that, but that's one of the ways. And the second way is a tricky thing. You can sign in with your Google account. I'm normally wary of those kind of things. However, it was the only option, so I did it. The reason why I'm normally wary is because of some of the problems that are out there right now with the game for people who sign in with a Google account. When you sign in with a Google account, you're giving the game open access to, yes, your Google account, which includes your email if you have a Gmail account, includes any files on your Google Drive. It can send emails as you. It can read your emails. It can delete your emails. It can move your emails. It can delete your files, move your files, create new files. It can do all of that. It does not need to do any of that. The developers of the game have admitted that's an error, and they are working to fix it. So it is in the process of being fixed. But again, if you are concerned to worry about it, wait. If you don't have any of those concerns, if you log in with that Pokemon Trainer Club account, so if you have one, log in with it. If you don't, either suck it up and do it as Google because they're fixing those issues, or wait in the hopes that you can then create and log in with a said Pokemon Trainer Club account. Now, there's an official website for it. I'll have a link in the show notes, but it's there, so it's easy. You can go to and find more information. The game you can download for iOS. It's for Android. It might also be on the Kindle operating system for people who have Kindle Fires. Kindle uses the Android operating system, but it's a version of it, so it's not everything that works on Android works on a Kindle, and vice versa. It's something that I've learned, but true. And that is Pokemon Go. So should you be interested, I think you can find me on there. If not, I'll share photos from time to time. And if you're not interested, I am sorry. This is a very popular game, one I'm actually enjoying. And whether or not you're aware of it, you have probably seen people play it. You probably know people are playing it. They may not admit it. They may feel that they're going to get shamed, maybe fearful that you will shame them. I hope not, but they might be concerned about that. But you know people are playing, and now I hope you have a greater understanding and appreciation for why they are. Whether these people are your friends, your coworkers, your family members, again, kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, who knows? Me! Right? I play. You know me through the show. So I am someone, if no one knows, you know, I'm someone you know who plays the game. So there it is. And now maybe you can understand a little bit more about it and just why it is and what it is and all that kind of cool stuff. So now with that being said, we are going to move on to the favorite segment of the show that I have, which is Mailbag. Mailbag, as the name might imply, is where I get to deal with listener feedback. It could be emails from you or people like you, stuff on social media, or however you get in touch with us the way you get in touch. We're on all sorts of different things. You can email jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. I love getting emails. We're on Twitter @CWFGamecast. On Facebook, I got a link in the show notes, I believe, to that. It's wargamingrecon.com/Facebook. Bring you to our Facebook page. You can send us messages on Facebook Messenger. And I think we're on Pinterest, maybe. I don't really use that, but I think we're there. Anyway, you can get in touch with me, is the point. And I'd like you to, because I love getting listener feedback. Good, bad, whatever. I would hope, though, that any listener feedback is constructive in nature. So I don't mind if you don't like the show or you don't like what I talked about or you don't agree with me, but be nice, right? So if you thought an episode I did was just garbage, make it constructive. Criticism is great, right? But constructive criticism is even better because it helps to make the show better so that it's better for you. And that's what I want to do. I want to provide a good and enjoyable listening experience for all of you. So from our Facebook page, got some listener feedback from a couple individuals. And the first one is listener Galen, who said of episode 162, which is the Wargaming Against Depression with Joshua Shoebridge, he says, quote, "I do the same thing," unquote. And I believe Galen means that he also uses Wargaming to battle against depression. He plays Hail Caesar, if I remember correctly, and that is one way that he kind of can deal with things that are bugging him. And then listener David also commented about episode 162, and he said, quote, "I think a lot of us do a similar thing with our Wargames," unquote. And I would agree with you. I think even if we don't all have depression, we all have times that we get annoyed, we're bummed, you know, whatever, we're having a bad day. Wargaming can help with that, whatever level you're at. And if you listen to the episode, you know that Joshua has different levels that he goes to. So he can tell if he's like in the deepest, darkest pits of depression, that certain things are going to help him better than others. Maybe he shouldn't paint. Maybe he should read rules or vice versa, you know. It's important to know those things. It's important to know you and to get help if you need it. So I'm glad that Galen and David, both of you listened and enjoyed the show, and that you find wargaming to be helpful to you for when you need it. That's what a hobby should be there for. It should be there to help us and lift us up and not make us feel like crap. It's how I feel. So thank you both for your very kind comments. If any others of you have comments, please send them. I told you how to get in touch. Jonathan at Wargaming Recon. We're on Facebook and, of course, on Twitter, so you can get at me all those cool ways. And then we have some announcements I would like to make. I want to remind everyone that we are the newest, actually the second newest member of the TSR Podcast Network. The Mythwits have just officially joined. So we are no longer the newest member, but we are almost the newest. And what we can say that the Mythwits cannot is that we are the flagship wargaming podcast. Woo! That's pretty cool, right? I think I get to woo with that. I can be a little excited at that. So you can visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN. Don't worry, link in the show notes to that. And if you're not aware, this is the TSR helmed by Jason Elliott. It was affiliated with Tim Kask and Frank Mentzer, and it might still be. That's a little muddy to me. I'm not quite clear on that. That's okay. When I need to know, I'll be told. And then Peter Blix Bryant, as I have said, is the network's producer. He's also the head honcho and host of the Mythwits. He's really cool because he knows a lot of the really interesting techie kind of things, and he can get deeper into that sort of stuff than I can. So he's going to be using those skills to help make Wargaming Recon better sounding and a better quality show just all around on that backside. So things you might not see behind the scenes, he's going to be helping out with all those sort of stuff. I'm very excited about that. And then, of course, as a result of this, I did have to leave the Troll in the Corner podcast network. So Wargaming Recon's no longer there, but my other show, should I ever do another episode of it, Geeks Explicitly, yep, that is still there. So I'm still an editor over there, and I am a host, or the talent, I guess they say, at TSRPN. And then I want to remind all of you about the sponsor of the show, the MHWA, the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are a great group of guys, just incredible what they do up there in Maine. They put on Huzzah, which is how I've gotten to know some of them. And Huzzah is my favorite historical wargaming convention. They do so much stuff up there. It's a joy to go. I will be at Huzzah in 2017. I'll do another live recording. I'll have details, you know, as we get closer, because Huzzah will be May 19th through the 21st of 2017. And well, Wargaming Recon honestly would not exist if it weren't for the kind sponsorship of the MHWA. So my hat's off and thank you to all of those kind gentlemen. And speaking of people who help the show to exist, I need to thank my Patreon sponsors, because that's the other piece of the puzzle. A lot of pieces in this puzzle to keep the show afloat. You wouldn't think it would cost what it costs to have a guy talk into a microphone, but it does. There's all sorts of things. Maybe someday I'll do an episode of bore you all to death just on all that kind of stuff. It's probably not going to be of interest to anyone, so maybe I won't. Anyway, I want to thank my Patreon backers, Dave and the Wargames at Battleshades Facebook group, Patrick and Chris Parker of Day of Battle Games, for their kind support and generosity through Patreon. Some exciting Patreon news, actually, I'd like to share. Right now, we are $1, that's right, $1 away from reaching the next goal. You're thinking, woo, that's nice, but who cares? Next goal is really cool. So once we reach the next goal, I can then afford to get and pay for a service that will help streamline the whole process of sending out rewards to Patreon backers. And that will save money on postage and also should allow me to offer more stuff to international backers at reasonable prices. So if you listen and you're not in the US and you thought, I would love to support the show because I like your backer rewards, I've wanted a t-shirt or the awesome custom dice. I love these dice. I know it's a segue, but darn, they look good. Thank you, Christopher Rhett, because they are so good. I wish people would back at that level so I could give them out. None yet, but I know we will. So once we reach this next goal, we can start streamlining all that kind of stuff. It's only $1 away. So if you haven't supported the show yet on Patreon, I ask that you consider doing it. You can get in for just $1, and that'll get you access to some cool stuff. You get behind-the-scenes content, and you get episodes before everyone else. And we have levels more advanced depending on what you want, such as you get a set of 6 of these awesome, they're just so cool, custom laser engraved etched wooden D6 Wargaming Recon logos on them. they'll serve you well. They roll well. They really do. $18 reward level, you get a set of six of them mailed to you from me with my thanks. And there's other levels in there. It's worth doing. And if you already support the show, I'm going to ask if you are so able to maybe consider raising your pledge a little, because then we can reach this goal and keep on moving forward towards the next goal. But this goal, it's a good one. Once it's reached, I can start offering those stuff, those goods and rewards to people, and maybe do more for international listeners, which is something I really want to do, but that international postage just kills me. And it's also a pain, honestly, to do stuff with the way that I have things set up, because I'm trying to do things on the cheap, because it costs money for all this kind of stuff, and I'd love to do it, but if you don't have it, you can't do it, right? But I want to get stuff to you guys, I really do, and it's just, it's hard. Signing up with the service will make it easy so that I can then do it. I know there's at least a few of you internationally who've asked about backer rewards, t-shirts and things, and I've said, well, you know, I want to, but I can't offer it just yet. We do this, and then I can, so $1 away. So I talked about the Patreon, wargamingrecon.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Don't worry, link in the show notes at, what was that? Yes, wargamingrecon.com/WR163. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR163. I want to remind you about our episode guide, because that has information about upcoming episodes. We are trucking along and getting closer towards the end of the year, and things are filling in. We're going to be having other guests on and topics and things. You find that all on the episode guide. The next episode comes, oh, what do we have? Oh, wow, August 1st. So that'll be August 1st, and I have a tentative topic in there, and we'll see how things go. And then at this point, we're done. I know I do it in the credits, but I want to remind everyone to just kind of take a moment and join me in this moment of silence, because Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of a very long time listener, a wonderful guy, Andrew. He passed away, God, it's been a year, I think, now, actually. But he helped to give the show its name and provided a lot of fellowship, feedback, and just wonderful to get to know him. He was from the UK, and so the show's dedicated to his memory. I ask you to join me in this moment of silence in honor of his memory. Well, on that happy note, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Wargaming Recon. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know it's probably not what most of you were expecting, but really, stick with me. I try not to steer you wrong, ever. So I hope you will stick with me for that. And then we'll have that other episode coming up next time. I think you'll like it. I think I'm going to be talking about the do's and don'ts of commissioning someone to paint your minis. I think. We'll see. I may have it switched up with a guest. It's still in the works. So anyway, you guys know the deal. No matter how busy you are, how much time you're out walking, playing Pokemon Go, or getting sick and tired about hearing people talk about it, you know that you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN. for more information and to learn about the other great shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew, who helped give the show its name. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine.
Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.